I'm Sandra Penkoff. I'm Director of Art Galleries at National Museums Liverpool, and as part of my brief, I've helped look after the Lady Lever Art Gallery in Port Sunlight Village. The gallery was opened in 1922, and it contains the personal collection of William Hesketh Lever, first Viscount Leverhulme. Lever had lots of passions in terms of collecting art, so it's a really diverse collection when you come into the building, which ranges from amazing Victorian paintings to Chinese ceramics to Wedgwood, probably the best collection of Wedgwood jasperware in the world. He also collected what we refer to today as global collection, so items from Africa and Asia. Another amazing aspect of the collection is the furniture. Lever particularly liked 18th century country house style furniture, and furniture that's very beautifully decorated. And he chose to build it in Port Sunlight Village. He had the wealth and social connections to build the gallery anywhere. You know, he could have put the gallery in London if he'd wanted to, if it was only about showcasing the collections. But he wanted his workers to have access to great art and culture. So the gallery today is run by National Museums Liverpool. So, you know, the clue is in the title. It's a national museum organisation and funded directly by government. I do think this is a unique thing for the Lady Lever Art Gallery because, you know, you've got other smaller galleries in smaller places, but the fact that it's in a village, yet it's of the status it is, it's quite unusual. And for us in our work, that is really, really important, that we build those connections and we offer that community feel and hub, and that it's not just seen as something for people visiting from further afield. On the first day we opened, you're never quite sure how many people are going to turn up and what people's reactions will be. But it was really satisfying and heartening to see like a steady stream of people coming in and talking directly to a few of the visitors. They just talked about how glad they were to visit a museum again, to look at interesting, beautiful, historic things, to have a chance to say hello to the staff, especially if there were people who visited regularly. That's what public places are all about, isn't it? Giving people space that feels safe, space that's interesting, opportunity to meet together and experience new things. The Lever community is incredibly important. That's why the village was built the way it was and looks the way it does. It's not just about the work, it's around all these other different aspects of our lives, getting together, having the opportunity to experience new things, learn new things, but being all in it together as a group and supporting each other. I think that would have been really important to him, and he would be very impressed by all the efforts of the village and the people who work in the village to sustain that sort of connection throughout the pandemic.
Hi, my name is Claire and I'm the Community Engagement Officer for Port Sunlight Village Trust. Pre-COVID, my role was that I was managing the community hub in the village, which is Bridge Cottage. Since March, that has been closed because unfortunately it is just a house and we're not able to socially distance the groups in there due to the sizes of them. But my role was very much to manage the hub, to support groups and societies in the village and to support residents that wanted to get anything off the ground that could help reduce social isolation, which of course now has been pushed upon us all. And I think because of that, a lot of residents have reached out to one another and really shown the support. And we've seen a huge rise in new groups being set up, groups that were existing finding different ways to adapt. So at the start of the pandemic, we were right into the new financial year of Bridge Cottage, and as a community hub we rely on donations and venue hire to stay open, so there wasn't anything to spend really, but thankfully we received a grant from the Arts Council England, and that enabled us to put on an activity programme that would help support residents with their health and well-being. So we put on a series of activities that were outdoor, self-led and online, and these varied from Tai Chi sessions in the Dell to circus skills for children, and then we had stay-at-home Halloween kits, we've had mindfulness online, dance classes, live on Facebook, storytelling, live cook-alongs, you name it, we've done it. Anything that anyone had to suggest, we had a go. And we tried to make it that everyone could take part, so they didn't have to have the internet. They could just use, you know, one of our self-led kits.
Hi, Anne. I've just come to drop off a little activity kit for you.
Oh, lovely. Thank
and
you.
And how are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah,
good.
It's great.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep dropping them off for you, but just let me know if you need anything else.
I
okay.
will do. Yeah.
See
you. Thanks ever so much.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
It started off with me just doing some live activities on Facebook. So that was Grow at Home with Claire, where I went live from the Lottie showing people how to make paper plant pots out of newspaper, how to grow tomatoes from a tomato out of your fridge, how to grow peppers from, you know, leftovers. So people didn't have to go and find seeds if they couldn't. At the time, our garden centre wasn't open and, you know, compost was quite scarce or very expensive online. So it was showing people what they could do with what they had at home, and that was really popular. And I think because it was live, people just enjoyed saying hello in the present time and me answering their questions and saying hello back. It might have been the only contact they'd had all day. And then because my background's in craft design, I was able to do a little craft club on a Friday afternoon. So that was aimed at adults. And of course, I had a four-year-old at home who was homeschooling. So I brought her in, which was quite good fun. But she did steal the show in the end and took over. But it kind of just showed, you know, I was in the same position as many parents in the village who were working but still had a child at home, and I just involved her in it, and it boosted her confidence, and we got a lot of laughs. And in fact, some people are just watching it to have a laugh, I think, at us, to see me under pressure, a four-year-old. But it was great fun. And now, as we go into this new year, although that funding is finished, we have managed to put some budget aside to spend and continue it, because we know now in this third lockdown, the need is still so strong from the residents, and now more so than ever because of these dark days, the bad weather. In the summer, it didn't feel as bad, but this time round, people are tired with it. They may have got into a rhythm with, you know, the shopping and medications and what they can and can't do, and they may have built some confidence to go into the supermarket, but they're lonely. You know, people are really suffering with that loneliness. So we've invested in an activity trike, which we'll be parking up in different parts of the village with different free activities and free fruit and veg off our community allotment that people can help themselves to. And we've also invested in some outdoor gazebos that we can put up on the green, and we can do some outdoor activities there under a bit of shelter. So we're seeing this, you know, it's not such a bad thing. It's quite good that we've had to adapt the way we do things. I've engaged with more people than ever, and I strongly believe that, you know, community isn't about buildings, it's about people. And that's the good thing that's come out of this. You know, people have come out and made an effort to connect with one another however they can, and I think we'll become a stronger community from this, without a doubt.
I think there's two key things that's come out in the period of the pandemic. The most important one is the Black Lives Matter movement and campaign. So for the Lady Leaver, you know, there are sort of two areas that we're looking at. One is how Leaver acquired his wealth in the later period of his career when he had direct business interests in the Congo, where we know there was enforced labour and Leaver owned plantations, palm oil plantations. So there is a question, how far did the profits of Leaver Brothers support his collecting? So we're working with Port Sunlight Village Trust and Unilever on a piece of research to ask those questions and to answer them as openly as is possible. And then in terms of what Lieber collected, it's a lot of 18th century paintings. There's things that were brought into the country to furnish and decorate grand country houses. And a lot of the wealth driven in the 18th century had connections to the slave trade. So we want to do an audit of the collections, looking for names, either of people who commissioned work, artwork, appears as sitters in portraits and so on. So we understand better the provenance, the history of each artwork, how the collection reflects that wealth and acquisition of wealth through the slave economy. Second challenging thing, I think, for many arts organisations is the finances. Because, of course, when our visitors are coming in through the door, they are giving us donations, they're buying things in our shops, they're buying things in our cafe, and we hold events and people hire the venue for events, and we hold events to encourage donations. So all in all, if you think of all those usual income streams, they're just not there. But we're still paying the staff, still have the buildings to run, we still need to pay the energy bills, we still have to do all of that. So there's lots of expenditure still happening and far less income coming in. There is support from the government to a degree with COVID recovery grants and staff furlough, and that's really, really positive. But there are lots of other things we still need to cover. So there's a lot of sort of balancing of what's going out and what might be coming in.
Few notes,
go on.
Echoes nice, doesn't it, round here?
Okay, I'm Ralph Peters. I'm secretary of the Portslade Lyceum Brass Band, based in the village, needless to say. I actually founded the band in 1973 when, as captain of the Portslade Boys Brigade, which was based here, had a drum and bugle band, which it normally lots of boys' brigade companies had, and two of our players began receiving brass peripatetic teaching at their respective schools, and each had valved instruments, which was a new thing to us, and so they were able to join in. I thought, that's a good idea. I wonder if we'd perhaps be interested in starting a little group, which we did. And we had a group of five people who, I think it was in the September 1973, five boys sat down and played in the Lyceum building just next door here. Our repertoire, all kinds of music, popular music, film music, stage music, show music, etc. We play locally at fetes, fairs, fundraising activities, concerts of all sorts. Unfortunately, we haven't had any full rehearsals here in our band room since March last year, so we've been stuck. But we were able to go out, I think it was three or four nights around the village playing some Christmas carols, which people came out to the doors and applauded, etc. Went down very well. Other than that, I think we managed to get a socially distanced rehearsal, or two rehearsals, in October. And then the powers that be changed their mind and said, oh no, we're not doing that anymore. So our time together, which we enjoy, has been desperately restricted. And frankly, personally, I feel quite devastated about the whole situation, which we haven't been able to play, and we haven't been able to entertain people either. We didn't play one single engagement last year, which was again devastating, but also because we do charge just a small fee, etc., we've suffered a very huge loss of income, which is difficult because one of the main things that we have to pay is a wide range insurance, both for personal insurance, public liability insurance, instruments, equipment, etc. That bill comes to nearly £1,000 a year. which of course is substantial, and we've been without any income, therefore we struggle a little bit.